It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
There's so many people that are upset nowadays at Brett Favre. So many people. He's had so many interaction with people on social media. Now it's getting like face to face. Because didn't he sue Shannon Sharp? I think he had sued Shannon Sharp because he was upset about some stuff that Shannon Sharp had said about the whole the Mississippi scandal. He got mad at two people. He got mad at Shannon Sharp. He also got mad at my guy that does, he's not my guy, but Pat McAfee, the Pat McAfee show. Anyway, I can't wait to watch this. I think it's the ESPN 30 for 30 that's coming up this Friday. Excuse me. And this ESPN 30 for 30 highlights Mark Gastineau. Mark Gastineau, phenomenal. Rusher, sacker of the quarterback, back in the 80s. Gastineau was a stud for the New York Jets. And I'm not sure if that was the only team he played for, but he was a stud with the New York Jets. Set the single season sack record at 22 sacks. Well, you guys know a gentleman by the name of Michael Strahan. Ended up breaking Gastineau's single-season record. 22.5 sacks. Well, the issue that many people are talking about now, and we'll see the entire episode this coming Friday, is that Mark Gastineau, in real time, when he was at the stadium that day, watching Michael Strahan break his record after he sacked, air quotes, Brett Favre. He didn't realize everything that happened on the play. So on the play, can we just go ahead and say that Brett Favre gifted Michael Strahan with the sack? He gifted him one. He tanked. He laid down for the man. He did. It's on video. So that broke his record. Let's just say that Mark Gastineau is not happy about it after all of these years. And just take a listen to the snippet of, it's basically a promotion for what we're going to see on Friday, but it involves Gastineau talking about him feeling like he was slighted and cheated out of his record and him approaching Brett Favre at like a trade show.
I thought we met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
All right, so Is that your first time hearing it?
Yes.
All right, so that's your first. Dude, you got to see the video. So that's your first time hearing it. You got to see the video. But so let me.
You can hear the emotion in his voice.
The emotion in his voice. So there's a, it's like a trade show. It's like a, you know, a convention area, right? And so you can see all these Packer helmets and, like, you can see, like, footballs, whatever. And so Brett sees him. And Brett approaches him and he puts his arm out, like his hand out, right? To, like, shake his hand. Gastineau's not shaking his hand. Gastineau immediately is defensive. And he's like, basically, you cheated me out of my sack record. That hurt me. You hurt me. And you could hear it in his voice. As a matter of fact, I want to play it one more time before I ask the question of the listening audience. Let's play it one more time because this is a man who is seriously, to this day, hurt by the actions of one Brett Favre.
I thought we met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
All right, so 651-461-9226. I know that some of you have seen the interaction, the video of it, because everybody's been talking about it. I have seen people that have had the reaction of, I think it's fair of Mark Gastineau to approach Brett Favre and bring it up. And I agree with that. I understand that the man's hurt. And I think that he has the right to say something about it because of one thing. Brett took a dive. Now, I'm not talking about took a dive in terms of, like, he got money to flop on a play. I'm not saying that. I don't think he got anything from Michael Strahan. But he did tank that play. He did not try to get out the way. He didn't try to make a move. He didn't try to do any of that. He laid down for Michael Strahan. Okay? He laid down for him. So, I think he has every right to be pissed off about it. That's just me. Do you think he was too emotional about it, though? Because I saw people that were kind of taking shots at Mark Gastineau, saying, dude, you're 68 after all these years. After all these years, you're upset at that? What do you think? I think he has every right.
I'll put it to you this way. And I referenced something that a person that I mentioned in the last hour. We give leeway to some athletes as far as the emotion and the passion and the beholding of grudges that some athletes have throughout their entire life, not their career, their life. Mark Gastineau does this, and he gets a little shade thrown at him. And I'm not saying I agree with him having this much emotion after this much time. I understand that. It was something that was special to him. It was something that gave him a place on the top of a record book in the NFL, and no one has beaten Strahan's record to this day. So if Gastineau wouldn't have had, or if Strahan wouldn't have that sack gifted, Gastineau still may be up at the top of the record book. But he shows the emotion and holds a grudge, and some people are cool with it. Some people are make fun of him. Give him shade. Michael Jordan holds on to a grudge.
Yeah.
We make the last dance. I mean, come on, man. The last season of the Bulls was a great season. It was a phenomenal documentary. But there were a lot of lot of pinpoints in that where you heard Michael Jordan had this grudge and he had that grudge and he had that grudge. It was a litany.
I think Mark Gasol has every right to feel like people can sit there and they can take shots at him and say, "Man, you're 68 and you're crying like a baby." And other, I don't agree with that. Like, he has every right to feel however he wants to feel, and I have no issue with that. But now let me just to be fair, I want to read. Did you hear Brett Favre's response?
I haven't.
Okay, let me read. He went on Twitter last night, or X, and he put together a thread. I'll read you the entire thread, just so you know the context of how what he said in the aftermath of all of this. Because I'm watching on Friday. I'm telling you this right now. He says, and it's the start of the thread, okay? "I want to clear the air on the footage release showing a small dust-up between myself and Mark Gastineau, the former New York Jet. So here's the thread. Back in 2002, when Michael Strahan sacked me at the end of a game that we had wrapped up, I was in no way trying to hurt Mark Gastineau. I was trying to close out a game and squeeze the last bit of fun out of a hard-fought game." What does he mean by squeeze out fun? "I booted out of a run, thinking it would be wide open. Saw Strahan standing there and ducked down. The game was over. There was no need for me to do anything spectacular." Hold on, if the game was over, why were you ducking out of a run then? Like, huh? "Anyway, it probably wasn't Michael's best sack or tackle for a loss. In a different game or situation, I would have made a bigger effort to avoid the sack or tackle for a loss. But at no point was I thinking about hurting Gastineau. Maybe it crossed my mind to help Strahan." Of course it did. "I didn't think it through. That wasn't my forte at the time. I just wanted to have fun and compete. In retrospect, I understand how Gastineau feels. We played a brutal game. Gastineau played during an era where guys didn't make generational wealth. I see now how being the sack king could elevate his value at card shows, strengthen his case for the Hall of Fame, increase his demand as a public speaker. I had no way of knowing that then. I realize now the potential financial implications, because football is far more business-oriented than when me or Mark played. There was no malice on my part. Mark was a great player. My understanding is he's a great guy and a fun teammate, a guy who played with the kind of joy and passion I tried to mimic. I understand his frustration, but I'm not his enemy. A while back, he saw me at a card show and got his frustration off his chest. It's not the kind of moment that should be filmed and released. It was a private moment of frustration between two old football warriors. I have a great deal of respect for Mark. Oh, one day he joins me in the Hall of Fame. He earned it. Look at his numbers. He eclipsed 20 sacks twice and had 19 in another year. Mark definitely left an indelible mark on the game. I hope this controversy brings attention to just how great Mark Gastineau was. He belongs in Canton. Merry Christmas, everyone. Brett." What do you think of the apology there? I thought it was solid, to be honest with you. And I'm not a Brett Favre fan. I thought it was solid, though.
It was a decent apology. It sounded, I guess, a little bit stock standard. But it at least he highlighted Gastineau's career. And I think he does have remorse for that. But again, you look at that season, and like they said, it was 2002. Strahan would not get his Super Bowl for another 5 years. But I believe that was the season that put Michael Strahan on the map. And look at him now. You'd have to think that Michael Strahan has a charm and a charisma that was going to lend itself to him possibly having an after-pro football career. Mm-hmm. Who knows if Gastineau would have had that. But maybe there you look at, you know, having that post-career that Strahan has, and Gastineau looks at that and it's like, "Can you just throw me a bone? Just give me..." You can have all of the Good Morning America and the $100,000 pyramid and all that, all the stuff that you host, and all of that good stuff, you know, NFL on Fox, and just give me the sack record. Like Brett's, like that statement said, people go around. When you win a Super Bowl, if you have a single season record, if you have a career record, people, athletes, use that post career.
Absolutely.
And they and if you don't have the wherewithal to be a TV analyst down the road, you can use that to build up your name in speaking engagements and all sorts of things.
Hey, real quickly, text line from the 612. Has to be not real. If it wasn't Favre, it would be the next guy. Mark sounds like he needs help. I just think that Mark's emotional, but I disagree with you, Texter. Texter, you got to understand. When you say if it wasn't Favre, it would be the next guy. There was no next guy. That was the last game of the year.
That was the last game of the season.
Yeah, that was the last game of the year.
Yep.
So there was no next guy on the schedule. That was the final. That was like the final possession of the game. They were losing 42-17. When Brett
Favre. I actually just brought the game. It was 34-25.
No. It was what?
I think the 2002 game, I believe it was 34-25. I believe that was the final score. But the Packers were up by two possessions.
Okay. All right. That was the final game of the season, though.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get. That's what people were going into that game thinking was, can he break this record? If he had gotten a legitimate sack,
yeah,
I think Gastineau would have been like, shucks.
I know.
Dang it. But that's okay. But right. The way it happened hurts him.
Yeah. All right. Late, up against the clock. Come back. Would you bite of the night? That's next.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the bite of the night this evening is... it involves a personality, a sports personality, a former athlete, former quarterback in the National Football League, Chase Daniel, okay, who currently does analyst work for, I think he does like some CBS sports stuff. He does a couple of different outlets or platforms that he does some NFL analyst work for. But I like Chase Daniel. Our time in Kansas City overlapped when he was backing up with the Chiefs. I happen to be in Kansas City, so I like Chase Daniel. And I know that Jonathan Lowe, he loves Chase Daniel because Chase Daniel, Mizzou legend.
Yes.
Mizzou legend.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you brought that up, so I'll bring that up. M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Yes.
You know, I mean, we know he's a Mizzou legend. All right, but this is the deal. So he was talking about Sam Darnold. And the bite of the night involves Chase Daniel talking about Sam Darnold, and that the Minnesota Vikings need to get their act together and make sure that they re-sign Sam Darnold, right? That's the crux of the conversation, which I don't get. I don't understand how people right now are clamoring for that. But let's go ahead and let's get to hearing from Chase Daniel on this particular topic.
Broad Dynamics, commit to him long term. 2 to 3 years is long term for me, right, in this league. And we can say here and sit here and talk about, and we will, that's why it's so great about the show, about what Sam Darnold has done in the past. Tell me what he's done lately for me. He has this team at 11-2. The most important thing for a quarterback is, can you win? Okay, after that, they're winning. And no one thought they would do that, especially after they got rid of Kirk Cousins. They don't want to pay Kirk Cousins $100 million or $100 million guaranteed that he got. He got $180 million from Atlanta. So they go to quarterback door number B, or letter B, and that is Sam Darnold. I love the way Sam Darnold's playing in Kevin O'Connell's offense. So if you sign him back, I think it's the right move. The last four games for Sam Darnold, 1,100 passing yards, ranked fourth in the NFL. TD to interception ratio, here's your zero. In the last four games, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's first in the NFL. Passer rating of 126.7 in the last four games. He's making a case not only for the Minnesota Vikings to resign him, but for other teams, these quarterback-needy teams, Giants, Jets, Browns, Raiders, to go out there and get him. And before I'll let you guys go, you've got to look at the draft situation next year with these quarterbacks. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, maybe? It's not a great class top to bottom. So all these teams are going to need quarterbacks. When you put it on tape, even if it's for a small portion of the time, teams are excited about that. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you were in the past, if you prove to me you can do it at a high level in the toughest division, yeah, you need to resign.
All right, I like Chase Daniel. Got no issues with him, and that's from the facility on Fox Sports. That's the show that he was on. I disagree with him for a couple different reasons. Why in the world, when you just drafted J.J. McCarthy and you have pinpointed him to be your quarterback of the future, would you give a long-term extension to Sam Darnold? That makes no sense, zero sense. What you would do is you would franchise tag him and keep him here for another year. You'll overpay for a year, but it's just a year, okay? That makes no sense what Chase Daniel just said. And then on top of that, sample size. Look, I get it, man. He's going off right now. He's been bad before this year. Now, I'm not blaming him for the entire thing because I think he was in some bad positions. But you just don't throw, like, if you say, we'll give Sam Darnold 4 years, 120, I would say, no, we're not doing that. We haven't seen him play well enough to justify those type of numbers.
So basically the question overall is, will Minnesota become known as the Dirty North, a.k.a. the Atlanta Falcons North? That is the question.
You believe it, J.J.?
No.
You don't? Now, I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
I have to see it
to
believe
it. He wasn't my favorite.
No. I have to see it to believe it. He just great leader.
Yeah.
Does he have enough talent to elevate at the pro level?
So you never know. We may see the whole Penix Jr., Kirk Cousins situation, but we'll see. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a break, take a look at the local weather. Then we're going to talk to Randy Meyer from the Fox 9 News. That anchor will join us next here on The Lake Show.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is refreshing!
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And tonight he returns. It's Randy Meyer from the Fox 9 News joining us here. Courtesy of the John Chuchicola Baker Hotline. Randy, is it cold enough for you?
You know, I operate in the extremes, Henry. I like the really hot weather, and I like the really cold weather, and that suits my body and my profession well.
Oh, man. Well, happy holidays to you and yours. Have you gotten all of your Christmas shopping out of the way?
You know, funny you should ask. I made my last purchase today.
Really?
So, yes, we are done. My wife and I, for the first time ever, Henry, and this is the honest truth, we started our Christmas shopping in October.
Wow.
By design. We've never done that before, and I'm a fan of that now.
Well, you know, Christmas is 2 weeks from today, and I got to admit that I typically am one of those last-minute shoppers. That's just me. I don't know how you roll, Randy. It sounds like you may, in the past, based on your history, might have been kind of a last-minute shopper, but you got it out the way this year. But I have to get ahead of it this year because I will be traveling for this year's Christmas break. And so with me being out of town, I got to get stuff done by hopefully this weekend.
Hey, where are we with that process, Henry?
I'm pretty far down the road. Only got to get like two more gifts, and I'm done.
Okay, well, you're in good shape then. You're right, though. I generally speaking, traditionally, am a much. I need to be in the spirit, and so I am generally a last minute kind of guy. I like to kind of feel it out. And I will tell you, I'm not one of these guys that just goes out and grabs stuff. I think about the gift for the person that I'm buying it. And I will go out specifically for that gift.
Yeah. And that was going to be my last question about Christmas shopping. Who is the toughest person for you to shop for? Is it your wife? Is it one of your kids? Who's the hardest person for you to shop for? Because for me, the hardest person for me to shop for is my father. Because my father always gives me the standard, I don't need anything, I don't want anything. I'm like, Dad, it's Christmas. You're getting something. I don't need anything, I don't want anything. Like my sister, she'll kind of let me know what she wants or what she needs. My cousins will let me know what they want or need. But my dad never does.
Ditto. My father is clearly the hardest person. Second hardest is my mother, but my dad is the hardest. This is interesting. My dad, unfortunately is kind of in the early stages of dementia.
Okay.
So it's at times a little comical in that he will tell you the same stuff over, or he'll. I'll give you an example. Last weekend I was down there to see him. I'd been there a couple of days, and so I'd been back and forth a little bit there in their home. And I walk in, I don't know, it's later in the second day, and he goes, "Hey, well, when did you get here?" So every day is a new challenge, but it also creates a challenge for Christmas because he keeps forgetting that it's Christmas. So I'll say, "Hey, Dad, got any ideas for Christmas?" "Oh, it's Christmas." "Oh, no. No." So this year, and this is kind of funny, I ask him again before he goes, I go, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" "Snacks." "I want snacks. Your mother doesn't let me eat what I want. I want snacks."
Oh, my gosh. So, that's hilarious.
He's getting it, and my mom's going to hate this. So my wife and I went and got a giant box with all these different kind of snacks that at 85 won't kill him, but my mom will flip out because we're feeding him things he shouldn't be eating.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. We're talking to Fox 9 news anchor Randy Meyer here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, Randy, I do got another question I'm going to ask you, but I'll ask you at the very end. But fill us in. What are some of the top headlines and top stories that you guys will be diving into on the Fox 9 news?
Tonight, we got a twofer. Minneapolis and St. Paul are both wrangling over their tax levies. Property tax levies for residents. And as you probably know, Minneapolis is having a hard time coming to terms between the mayor and the council. And the St. Paul City Council is in much the same situation. Odds are obviously the levy rate, but also where is some of this money headed? Police, beefing up police and fire is sort of top priority for both cities. Comes down to how much and how many, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been at both, yesterday was the Minneapolis City Council and today was sort of a hash out behind closed doors. Tonight, St. Paul City Council, mayor back and forth with the city council trying to figure out, we believe they came to some conclusion. Vetoed the mayor, but they came up with their own proposal, which we will lay out tonight, kind of give people an idea of what they're in for. Both cities will have a tax increase, somewhere in that 6% range, it looks like. So we'll lay that out for folks. You know, we continue to follow the story out of New York, obviously with hometown connections with UnitedHealthcare, and some new details tonight, some notes and some scribblings that he had made in a notebook prior to and right after the alleged killing, and then of course he's fighting extradition back to New York, which could be at least a month long proposition. But
hold on. Let me stop you for a second. That could take that process could take a month for him to come back.
Yeah, it could. I mean, they'll try to speed that up. There's things that they can do between the two governors of the state, but because he's fighting it, and because there are charges in Pennsylvania, the gun charge, the fake ID charge, some other things that they charge him with just to get him, you know, behind bars. And when his attorney decided to fight extradition, that was really an effort to just slow the whole process down. It could be at least a month.
Wow. That's something.
So we're digging through that stuff, trying to figure out, get to make some sense of all that.
I got you. Well, let me ask you
that. That's one of a handful of cases throughout my career where you just shake your head and go, I just can't believe where we are in this country with this sort of retribution that occurs on the streets of a major city.
Well, you know, I kind of flipped out a little bit. I don't want to say flipped out, but I had a hard time with it last week when initially in the aftermath of it, and we're still in the aftermath of it. But I was just really just disappointed. And I watch all the networks, right? I watch Fox, I watch CNN, I watch every single, you know, MSNBC, all of that. But I was a little bit, I was frustrated because on Thursday night, because initially it happened on Wednesday, then we had reaction all day because it was Wednesday morning. Then we had reaction Wednesday evening. Then we had reaction on Thursday. And remember how things played out last Wednesday, in which initially we saw the footage of the shooter jumping out of nowhere. He aimed the gun and they just froze it. They just froze it there, right? Well, in the next day, CNN showed more footage. They showed him kind of basically after, you know, walking him down and it was jamming and all that. And I feel like that's a little bit too much. You know, in football games nowadays, you know, if we have a guy that breaks his, you know, tibia or whatever, or like have a gruesome injury, we won't show the replay. I didn't need last week or even now, I don't need continuous replays of this gentleman being gunned down in cold blood. I just didn't need that. And it just, I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think you're echoing the sentiments of the general public as well. When something like that occurs, you know, nothing happens in this world without somebody getting it on video, it seems, or on camera. So that footage is always going to be out there for someone to pursue if they need to see it or think they need to see it. We made a decision early yesterday. Of course, our network was one of the freezer networks. They froze it. I think one of the live now sort of arm of our network played it in the context of a story that was a syndicated story. So I was still seeing it. I called in on I think it was on Friday that I just saw it online on our website, and I called in and said, you know, we need to get that out of there. Just yesterday, even the frozen part.
Yep.
Now we consider that wallpaper video, meaning unless there's a context given to it. Like last night we did the ghost gun story. So there was context to not the entire video, just the image of the gun in his hand.
Yep.
We used that in the ghost gun story last night, the prevalence of ghost guns, the problem with ghost guns. But in general, our policy moving forward now is you won't see it unless there's a specific reference made to the gun itself. Beyond that, it's just it's inappropriate at this point.
Yeah, I'm told it. Thank you. You're preaching to the choir. I'm dead serious, Randy, because last week when I came on the air and I said that on Friday, I understand that you have to show the start of it to give proper context, right? But when we are in 48 hours and everybody in the world knows that this is the biggest story going, I don't need to see, like, the first shot, and then you're walking to him, and it's jamming, and then you're raising your arms again. Like, we know what's happening here. I don't need my imagination to continue it, because I know what happens in the end. I know that somebody's life is taken away from them. So from that particular standpoint, I was a little bit bugged by that last week. But I think that me and you are on the same page, and Fox as well. This is the final question I wanted to ask you, though. We know that the biggest story this year, in an election year, is, you know, the presidential race. Let's take election stuff out of it. Where would you say this is in the top what of stories of 2024? Do you think that the UnitedHealthcare CEO getting murdered last week, is that a top three story?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is in Minnesota because of the connection to Minnesota, the UnitedHealthcare headquarters here. He lived here. His family's here. That puts it, and you're right, obviously the number one story, more hours and more of my voice was used politically speaking, political stories over the course of the last 11 months than any other story by far, even at the local level. So that one pretty much dominates everything. We had some decent sports stories. That's a whole other category in my book, though. But this one is going to fall into the number two slot late in the year like this as far as a local story. The other probably more wide-sweeping local story was the just the constant barrage of young teenage crime, carjackings, car thefts, kids getting killed in wrecks because of it, kids 13 and 11 and 12 carrying guns, and how do we address that in our state? I put that story up in terms of its social significance as high as any.
Yeah.
It is a problem. It's a problem that's hard to address if you can't address it from the home. Law enforcement struggles with it, containing or housing young juvenile offenders in this state as young as they are now is almost impossible, as we're finding. So it's a larger story that is an ongoing issue that has to be dealt with in some form or fashion, both at the legislative level in terms of funding for programs for housing, and at the local level, the local meaning right in the household, what's the catalyst for this type of behavior?
Yeah. Hey, Randy, man, you're the best, man. I appreciate your time tonight, and I probably won't talk to you before Christmas, but happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Henry, you too. God bless.
All right, take care. That's Randy Meyer, Fox 9 News anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, we will break. We will come back. And we will do our headlines, and we'll do that next year on The Lake Show. All right, it's time for headlines here. Jonathan Lowe is in the building tonight for one Christopher Tubbs. J-Lo back tomorrow night as well. And then I am in for Jason DeRussia 3-6 on Friday.
Yes, and I'll be in Friday night with Matthew Collar. To close out the week. Let's start with an uplifting story out of Moorhead. As Martha Castanon accepted her Moorhead Human Rights Award, she shared words her mother would say. No te cuesta nada tratar a una persona bien, Castanon said. It costs you nothing to treat a person right, with dignity and respect and compassion, which everybody deserves and which my clients deserve. Castanon, who works as an accredited representative at the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota, was one of four community members given a human rights award at the Moorhead City Council meeting on Monday. Her award was due to recognition for her work in the civic and community spheres. In the same category, the Human Rights Commission recognized Naya Dyer, Naya Dyer, for her work to advocate for youth in foster care and people with disabilities. Dyer, who was in foster care as a child, is a student at Minnesota State University Moorhead and serves as a co-chair on the Community Board for Foster Advocates, an organization working to improve foster care in Minnesota. Sarah Strompo, Director of Program Services at the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center, was recognized in the nonprofit category. Strompo's nomination was called out her work, her work to improve how sexual abuse survivors are treated by criminal, legal, and welfare services. Tammy Schatz, Moorhead Adult Basic Education Manager, was recognized in the education category. Schatz has worked at the Adult Basic Center, or Education Center, for 30 years. The Moorhead Community Education Center both offers classes for people age 17 and older, with programs to help people earn their GED, learn basic reading and math skills, learn English as a second language, and build workforce skills and learn about digital literacy. So congratulations to all four of them.
I'm about to say, man, they're doing good in the community, and that's what you want.
Yes. Let's go to a sadder story. U.S. wildlife officials announced a decision Tuesday to extend federal protections to monarch butterflies after years of warnings from environmentalists that populations are shrinking and the beloved pollinator may not survive climate change. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plans to add the butterfly to the threatened species list by the end of next year following an extensive public comment period. The Endangered Species Act affords extensive protections to species the Wildlife Service lists as endangered or threatened. Under the Act, it's illegal to import, export, possess, transport, or kill an endangered species. A threatened listing allows for exceptions to those protections. So in the monarch's case, the proposal listing would generally prohibit anyone from killing or transporting the butterfly. People and farmers could continue to remove milkweed, a key food source for monarch caterpillars, from their gardens, backyards, and fields, but would be prohibited from making changes to the land that would make it permanently unusable for that species.
You lost me with that one.
So basically, the monarch butterflies are disappearing.
No. Yeah, I get that. You still lost me on that one.
Okay.
I kind of.
All right. You don't like pretty butterflies? All right, fine. Then that's it. I'm done with headlines. That's it. You get two headlines tonight.
We're out of time anyway.
Save the pretty butterflies.
We're out of time anyway. Oh, man. All right, coming up here at the top of the hour, they're still red hot. The Minnesota Wild. Could we be looking at the cup? Could we? We talked to Jesse Pierce, host of the Bar Down Beauties podcast, NHL.com. She joins us next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.